morning. This works. Okay. Let's see if I work. Good morning, all. Welcome to the meeting of Finance, Facilities, and Operations Committee. Chair Manny Sanchez is unable to attend the meeting, and so as vice chair, I will be leading this morning's meeting. Ms. Bank, Sharon, let's start this thing officially. Will you please?
Trustee Robert, oh, I'm sorry. Trustee John Butler. He is here.
He is here.
Trustee Sherilyn Muir.
Here.
Trustee Myron Siegel. Trustee Barbara Georgie Vella.
Here.
Chair Manuel Sanchez. BOT Chair Mark Strauss.
Here.
And Vice Chair Robert Boyd.
Here, thank you. Good morning again. Verification of the appropriate notifications. Mr. Brady?
Yes, Mr. Vice Chair, is my responsibility to inform you that in accordance with the Illinois Open Meetings Act, as amended, timely notices for this committee meeting of the NIU Board of Trustees were timely posted and distributed to media representatives, noting the presence of a quorum. I recommend that this meeting proceed.
Thank you. Before I start the meeting, I just want to pass on the fact that Dr. Peters is in the conference call and is going to try to get back to join the meeting, hopefully. May I have a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting? Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. May I have a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting of August 26, 2010?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Today's agenda includes items of particular importance to the students and the university community as a whole. Those action items include recommendations for student fees and room and board rates for the upcoming year. These recommendations have been developed through a process involving students and staff, and these proposed fees and rates reflect the budget challenges that the university faces in fiscal year 2011-2012. Other action items on the agenda include 12 spending authorizations and contract renewals, a grant revision and a contract amendment, authorization for 3 campus capital projects, a lease renewal. Today's information items include reports on the salary stabilization initiative, transactions in excess of $100,000 and investments, and update on the first year residence hall project. I would now like to recognize the representatives of the University Advisory Committee. Dr. Rosenbaum, are you here?
Yes.
Good morning. Dr. Was, are you here?
He's not here.
Okay. Dr. Rosenbaum, do you have anything you'd like to say at this time?
No, I don't.
Thank you. Public comments. Mr. Brady?
Mr. Vice Chair, I have received no timely requests to address this board committee meeting.
Thank you. Well, Eddie, your show.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate.
I caught him off guard.
I truly appreciate that unique introduction.
You're welcome.
Mr. Chairman and ladies and gentlemen of the board committee, we have several board items. I'd like to go through these quick as form as we can. Item 7A, our recommendations for fiscal 2012 student fees. Again, this year, our process, just to take 30 seconds, our process includes for each fee area a representative committee, which includes students, staff, and the purpose of which would be to review that fee area, evaluate expenditures, the needs of the area, and then to make some determination as to whether or not a fee change is warranted, and that could be either in terms of an increase or a decrease if that were the case as the committee reviewed it. Those recommendations then are sent to Finance and Facilities. We coordinate them, review them, provide a summary analysis for the president. The president in turn meets with student leaders to review the recommendations. After that discussion, the president then moves forward by recommending the various fee increases or changes to this committee. The President did establish some guidelines consistent with his commitment to keep the cost of attending NIU as low as possible. Affordability is one of our major goals, access being a second and very much related one. As such, he has asked us to minimize the total increase within a range of 3 to 4%, 3 to 4.5%, and even though cost and other impacts beyond our control are involved in establishing the fees. So that in summary form, on the summary for the specific board item, you'll see that the overall package is a 4.31% increase, but then that is very much skewed heavily by the fact that our health insurance contract has required an increase. And the health insurance, if you were to omit that increase, then we're talking about a 2.73% increase for students that pay health insurance. For those who do not pay health insurance, it translates into a 3.97% increase. I will not go through each individual recommendation. However, if you have questions on a specific fee recommendation, I certainly will be happy to comment on it. I ask your approval.
Thank you. Trustees, may I have a motion, please? Second. Discussion. Anybody? Yes, Rob.
Dr. Williams and Dr. Peters allowed me to vet all my questions and concerns that I had in terms of relation to the student fees, and I just wanted to thank them for that.
Good. Thank you. Trustees, anybody? All right. If there's no further discussion, I'll call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Item 7B, ladies and gentlemen, is the corresponding recommendations regarding room and board rates. Again, our Vice President for Student Affairs is not with us today. He had to be out of town. However, there are representatives from the Student Affairs area who are in attendance. The room and board rates have been evaluated through, again, a joint representative committee. That committee consisted of our residence hall students, staff, and then a further review as the recommendation came forward to finance and facilities. This year, the committee has requested a 5.2% overall increase. They are holding board rates at zero. The room rates are increasing above that amount, but when you average it out between room and board, it's an overall 5.2% increase. I will comment just very briefly. Part of this increase is due to, obviously, the increase in the cost of utilities. Also, as this board knows, we have been wrestling with an unfunded mandate by the state of Illinois to provide sprinklers in all of our residence halls. That requirement continues. We will continue with the next phase of those improvements. And again, part of the fee increase that's being requested will cover those particular costs. So we ask your approval of the new room and board rates as recommended.
Trustees, motion please.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. No discussion. I'm going to call the vote. Yes? Yes.
Can you explain the similar to the student fee process, there is some involvement of the residents in this process?
Yes, I'm sorry, I'll reiterate. At this process has, again, a representative committee that reviews all of the activities, income, expenditures, services, and so forth that are provided in the residence halls. That committee includes representatives from the Resident Hall Association, which is a student organization, as well as staff that work with the residence halls. That group sits down and reviews the entire package, and then they come forward with recommendations. In years past, oftentimes there are particular services or things that the students would like to add. We had, for example, a major change for cable service and those kinds of capabilities, and sometimes the students would like to have a particular type of area remodel or whatever for their use. And so it is a give and take and a very cordial process by which they are able to resolve all the issues. They look at the projected cost and utilities. They look at the projected cost and maintenance. They review things like the required unmandated, the mandated but unfunded sprinkler system requirements and all of these things. They put those together, and they also have to look forward, look to the forward costs that may be associated with long-term deferred maintenance for the facility. So some of the increase is attributable to making sure that our reserves are adequate to cover what would be projected projects that may be 2 years down the line.
Thank you.
All right. Any further discussion? I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Item 7C is our athletic sports camp. Remember, these are pass-through expenditures. As individuals sign up for these activities, then their fees for signing up will cover the full cost of the camp. So we ask your approval.
May I have a motion, please? Second.
Second.
Discussion. I'll call the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Item 7D is a similar pass-through, our international programs, which again is one of the better and more outstanding ones in the country with a great demand. Again, the cost for this program are through the fees that are paid and collected through the international program offering. So we ask your approval.
Eddie, I love pass-through expenditures. Simple to vote on. Motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Item 7E is our approval, our annual approval of the NIU Foundation Professional Service Contract. Again, this is the contract by which the university enters into an agreement with the foundation for fundraising activities. The university then is the recipient of what has now become millions of dollars of fundraising efforts on the part of the development office in terms of grants, in terms of endowed chairs, in terms of scholarships for students, other types of funding that the university now has the benefit of because of these fundraising activities. The agreement requires the university to put forth $611,700 in support of the foundation activities, and in turn, as I said, we get the very nice opportunity to reap millions of dollars and an increasing millions of dollars in beneficial results to the campus and to our operations, to our students, to our academic programs, and to our faculty. So we ask your approval of the contract.
Trustees, motion please.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? Chair Mura?
I would be remiss to not make comments here. I would like to acknowledge Mike Malone and Mallory Simpson, and I would say maybe we shouldn't tell them, but this is a real bargain for us. Especially after participating in probably the best Red and Black that we've had to date, and that means that 2012 will be even better than that. And what was very good about that is there were sponsors, as well as about 500 people attending, that really, it's immeasurable in terms of the benefit that it brings to the university in terms of recognition
and the enthusiasm that those types of events really garner, I think that's why we've been so successful. So it's with great pleasure that I will vote on this motion.
I will second what Trustee Miller just said. She and I both trustees that sit on the foundation board as well, so we're members of that board and understood a lot of the ins and outs of the activities. To both Mike Malone and Mallory, thank you for a great job. Well done. I remember the years before the Board of Trustees was officially formed in 1996. Before that period of time, the foundation activities were very minimum too, and I'm being kind. So it's been a great change. Thank you both for a job well done. Any other discussions? And we'll call the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Item 7F is our normal renewal of our contract for copy paper. This is the third year of a five-year renewal contract. Please remember that these contracts are initially negotiated either through a direct RFP process or we do have a bidding process. So these are the result of that open opportunity for receiving competitive proposals. We ask your approval of this contract.
Motion, please.
Second.
Second. Discussion.
It's a lot of paper.
Yes.
Any other discussion? I will call a motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Item 7G is the approval of the actual copy equipment that uses all of that paper. But under this contract, the university does not really own the equipment. We found it cost effective and very much more efficient to have an outside vendor actually own the equipment, be responsible for the equipment, for maintenance and upkeep of the equipment. We just have a simple agreement with them is that they would provide equipment to us that would be functional and meet our needs. So we again ask your approval of the renewal of this contract.
Thank you. Trustees, motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Item 7H is a approval of our 2012 mass transit contract. I will make a comment to the so that we again remember and recall the fact that the mass transit operation at NIU is one of the largest in the state of Illinois. When you look at it, I don't know, at one point we were fifth, we might even be down to fourth largest in the state. So it is not minuscule operation in any sense of the word. Also, I'd want to point out that the mass transit system at Northern is controlled by a committee, which is basically the Students Mass Transit Committee. And they're responsible for reviewing the contract. They're responsible for reviewing the services, the routes that are approved and otherwise. There is always a concern. Our contract provides provision by which there are fuel escalators, and I need not say more about that. You need only hear what's going on around the country with fuel costs. There are also provisions that allow a modification in the contract based upon the routes and the services that may be requested by our students. At this point, the committee has reviewed the renewal, and they're asking your approval of the contract as set before you.
Trustees, motion please.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Thank you. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Item 7I is approval of the fiscal 2012 Naperville catering service contract. This is a pass-through item where those who utilize the educational center there and require some form of food service, they are obligated to pay for those services, and that's we provide a vendor by which they can contract for those food services. So this is a pass-through as well. We ask your approval.
May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? Yes.
Question: Have we do we do annual surveys in terms of customer satisfaction in regards to the facilities and including food and whatever it is we're offering at the Naperville campus?
That's an excellent question. From my perspective, I always hear of the horrendous problems if someone had one. So if somebody didn't like the way the spinach tastes, they would let me know. But I think Dr. Kaplan can give you more of the day-to-day. And by the way, I have not received any such complaints. Thought I better put that in there. But
Not on spinach.
But Dr. Kaplan can give you a better perspective of her customer service.
Yes, we do. We do annual surveys of student satisfaction, and then we do conference by conference surveys of customer satisfaction about everything in the centers, and they're always very positive.
Good. All right. Will we continue to do surveys of our customers in particular, because those centers continue to be used and hopefully will be used even more by outside parties. So
right.
Will you please continue to do that? And perhaps at some point you might report back to the board on that.
We could do that.
Because I think as our satellite facilities become larger because of all your outreach, Ann, it would be good to have a check and balance on that.
We'll do that.
Thank you.
Good. Any other discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Item 7J, one of my favorite items, is the renewal of the Northern Star contract. We're very pleased with the request is for $254,000, and we ask your approval.
So moved.
That's a motion to approve. May I have a second? May I have a brave second, please? I'm losing control of this meeting. I'm going to call. All in favor? Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Please don't put me on the headlines. I was just kidding. Item 7K is approval of the renewal of our outreach radiation oncology program that we have. This is under our neutron therapy facility and institute at Fermilab. This is a renewal of the services for physician services. I do need to make a point of clarification here just so that we're very clear. And I do want to thank John Lewis, who serves as our coordinator and involved with this institute. This institute is really supported through grants and institutional funds and generated revenues. And we indicated on the item appropriated, but in fact, the real sources are the grant funds, institutional funds, and generated revenues. And we'll make that correction in the full board item when it goes forward. But this effort includes research of our faculty in the neutron area, it has been a very positive relationship with Fermilab and builds upon other relationships that we have with Fermilab. So we ask your approval.
Motion, please.
So moved.
Okay, second?
Second.
Yeah, okay.
Third.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Item 7L is our approval of our student accident and health insurance. Again, we're very pleased with the outcome of this. Again, there is a representative committee of students and staff who work together to review the health insurance program that we offer. I think in all estimations, NIU offers one of the better, if not the best, health insurance package for our students. Students that do have alternative insurance and bring proof of such insurance can opt out of our program. But it is a 12-month coverage, so even during the summer, our students are covered under this program. We are very much watchful of the potential of cost increases. I need not go into any detail about health insurance. I think all of us here have a pretty good understanding of what's happening in this particular realm. But we do ask your approval of this request. And again, I want to commend the committee for a very very great job in terms of negotiating the contract.
I too have heard about the quality of insurance, and the rate of $415 per semester is a very good rate. Yes. Trustees, motion please. Second. Discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
At our previous meeting, item 7M, the board approved the Broadband Technology Opportunity Northwest Project. It was a grant that we received from the U.S. Department of Commerce and National Technology Information Agency. The group that really are the recipients of the grant have met, and they need to do a reorganization of how they will administer the grant. It has been recommended to them to establish a non-for-profit organization by which they can then allow the non-for-profit to not only manage the construction, but also to oversee the grant activity. Within the grant, Northern Illinois University plays a key role. We are, in a sense, managers as well, and will work with hand-in-hand with the non-for-profit. This structure was approved by the granting agency as being a better way to proceed. Because of the way the grants are written, it requires our board to confirm and approve the restructuring. So we ask your approval.
Okay, motion, please. Second. Thank you. Discussion. Eddie, we had in the Chair Butler's committee, we had a discussion on fiber optics and the whole network, and this is really an outgrowth of a part of that, and it's getting to be a very big deal. Okay, discussion, anybody?
I have some questions. I don't have any. Obviously, this is a very sound move, has been thought out. But what does this mean in terms of how the board will interact with this project going forward? Will this be the last time we hear about this? Will they produce annual reports that we'll be receiving? How will we interact now under this structure?
I think there are two ways to look at that. First of all, in terms of formal interaction, as far as the campus is concerned, we are involved to the extent that the grant actually came to the university. So we are the recipients of the grant, and so we are very much involved. Our name is out there, and the granting agency will be looking to the university, not just here at the outset, but throughout the life of this grant. The performance under the grant will be therefore something that we must attest to, so that the granting agency knows that what was proposed is actually what was performed under the grant. So our involvement will be very intimate throughout this whole process. In terms of information and reports and so forth, we'll have the standard reports that the university would have for the granting agency. The question is whether there will be periodic reports to the board, and certainly if you would like that, I'm sure that John Lewis, who is sort of like another grand PI over this one as well, will be very happy to make periodic reports. but we are intimately involved, and our name is on the line, so that we will be getting very much reports throughout the life of the grant.
Okay, thank you.
Go ahead. Question? Yeah. Who are the members of the Illinois Fiber Resources Group?
John, can you comment on that? I don't know that.
When the grant was put together, we did it with three partners, LaSalle County, Blackhawk Hills, RC&B, and the City of Rockford. And the decision was made by those three entities plus ourselves to form a not-for-profit. And the board of the not-for-profit is made up of two representatives from each of the four organizations.
So it's eight people on the
board? Eight people on the board of directors.
Good. Thank you.
Yes.
Just a clarification. Also, I would take it that we receive an appropriate fee for the administration of the grant.
You're correct in that.
And so that is a direct financial benefit, and then especially in light of the scope of the grant, that's a very positive thing for us.
Yes, and I'm glad you mentioned that. The grant for these the subcontractors is approximately $68 million. Out of the total grant funds, NIU will receive $3 million plus for being involved in the activity thereof. So that it is a very positive thing for the institution. It brings dollars to us. It involves our people, and I must say, and sometimes we don't acknowledge the skill and the professionalism and creativity of our people. But you know, we were very much the catalyst by which this whole grant occurred, and Wally and his people, and John Lewis, and his staff working together, put this whole concept together and brought these other people to the table, so that they've done a marvelous job and really should be commended in projecting NIU and projecting the state of Illinois and the needs of our state. Before us and before the granting agency, and then to work the proposal through and actually get the funding, so that it is a great day for us in that regard.
I have just one follow-up question, if I may. When we look at this on a national basis, and perhaps it's Wally or John that need to answer this, but when we look at on a national basis, how many similar such grants were given on a national basis?
I believe there were about 70 grants throughout the United States.
John, use the microphone. So we can't deny it later on.
Okay. I believe there are 70 or 80 grants on a national basis. There was about $7.4 billion that was put into the broadband broadband development project from the Department of Commerce and NTIA. There are six grants, I think, in the state of Illinois.
Congratulations on that. Thank you.
Yes. Go ahead.
I'm sorry you may have said this earlier. Did we create this entity freshly for this purpose, or does this group exist, or have they existed before?
The iFiber group was created specifically for this, and it was created, you know, after the award and when the partners sat down to talk. You know, if you have four different partners, you have different ownership, and it was just becoming complicated, and they thought it would be better from an operational perspective going forward to create a not-for-profit that all four organizations were part of.
Thank you.
Anything else?
I would add thank you for this work. I think this is an important project, and it seems like a wise strategy going forward, and I appreciate the work of everyone involved, including the sub-recipients.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, I'm going to call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Item 7N is an amendment to a contract that we have out of our ITS area. We initially wanted trunking services provided through a creative approach Verizon Business provided. We were not satisfied, and plus Verizon basically sold out interests to certain parts of its operation to Frontier. And so our people in their evaluations have decided to move our contract to Frontier. There are some modified services involved. And so they're asking your approval of the amendment and the assignment of the contract to Frontier.
Okay, may I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? Yes, Chair?
Could I ask for a roll call vote on this, please?
Sure. That's appropriate. Any other discussion?
I know that we've talked about this before. Can you remind me what trunking services are?
Wally.
The trunking services refer to the communications pipe that connect NIU telephone systems to the world, and you have to go through a telephone company to do that. Over a year and a half ago, we went out to bid and bid the services out, and Verizon Business won the bid, and they were going to use a unique way of doing that, a little bit different, and it was going to save the university money. During the course of the year, we tried to implement it. They had delays, they had problems, and on the first cutover, we actually had problems, and we just said, hey, you know, we'll pay a few dollars more, we'll rebid the services, we're not going to do this. I mean, it was simple services, they failed. So what we did is, this is going back to our original, which used to be with Verizon, but then moved to Frontier because Verizon sold off the local phone companies. So Frontier has agreed on a 30-day basis to continue our old services for a longer period, which is why we're asking for more money. And we're going to rebid the entire process again. So we'll be back to you in the future for whoever wins the bid again. Does that help?
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else? Okay, I'm going to call the vote. All in favor?
Yes, for a roll
call. I have a short memory, don't I? Let's have a roll call.
Yes. Trustee Vella?
Yes.
Trustee Strauss?
I abstain.
Chair Boy?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Eddie?
Item 7-0 brings to this committee and eventually to the board a concern, a real concern that we have regarding our electrical infrastructure and distribution systems. We're very, very, very concerned as we have cable and electrical boxes and systems that can be as old as 60 years in the ground, and they are failing, and potentially are failing. I've asked Jeff Dower to give a brief, quick overview to the board regarding this situation.
Okay. Good morning. On November 9th, 2010, the high voltage line under Anderson Hall parking lot went to ground and power was temporarily lost in Anderson Hall, Wirtz, McMurray, Still, and Elkeld, and the East Heating Plant. A month later, on December 6th, the 1962 vintage switch in Swen Parson failed, resulting in a power outage for four major classroom buildings, including the loss of power to the main campus computer room in Swen Parson. Because the problem was initiated at the switch, we were not able to transfer power from our redundant loops. Workmen quickly responded and installed temporary backup power, but the battery backup at Swen computer room did not allow enough time and the system went down. And the crash resulted in costly damage to our network equipment. For a full day, the campus was without network connections. So much of our business today is transacted on email that this had a significant impact on NIU. To be sure, we do not want to repeat this experience. And the university has since purchased a 400 kW temporary generator that is on campus and ready for service, and an automatic transfer switch is being installed at the Swen Parson transformer. The existing conditions of the electrical distribution system have served their lifespan and are in serious need of attention. Those that came before us created a good, solid electrical distribution system for managing power on campus. Can you make it a little bigger, Nathan? Thanks. Okay. We have five substations where we distribute power from. Here, next to the baseball field out on Stadium, here on Glidden next to the field house, North Glidden, Carroll, and the Lucinda substation. From these stations, we distribute 4160 volt power using high voltage cable. One more, Nathan. Thank you. Now you can see how we disperse the power from the substations. Our predecessors installed a loop system so that we could feed power from two directions at any time, providing we manually open and close switches. This provides the university the redundancy that's critical for campus operations. Most of these cables were installed between 1957 and 1968. The insulation within the cable, the cables that are underground today, do not provide the level of protection the cable that we put in today does. And these cables have been underground for 40 to 50 years, and it's taken its toll. To complicate matters, our electrical vaults are aged to the point where water infiltration is a constant, and we must pump the water out before work can be done on these high voltage systems. This is an actual segment of cable that we took from underneath Anderson's parking lot back in November. When power goes to ground, it's significant. And this is the cabling we use today to replace it. As you can see, the layers of insulation and protection are far different and improved from what we had back in the 1960s. In order to prevent failures in the future, we need to take action now. And that action includes maintenance, repairs and replacement of our substations, distribution loops, transformers, and switchgear. We have prioritized the needed work as follows. The highest priority phase is depicted in purple or fuchsia. Nathan, it's depicted in purple. Thank you. The replacement of the Stadium Drive substation is included in this emergency phase. It's located next to the baseball field. Our Caltron system at the police department, this system was installed in the early 1970s. There are no longer parts available, nor is service available. And this is where our police receive all information about fire alarms and security. We're also going to replace two of the high voltage cabling here on the east side of campus. As we replace those, we will improve our chances. Well, that's not a nice way to say it. We will enhance the integrity of our system. We're also going to make five major equipment upgrades that need to take place as part of phase one. These include the switch gear and transformer at the field house, the switch gear at Lincoln and Douglas Hall, the permanent generator at Swen Parson, and extensive building preventative maintenance efforts for general campus buildings. In the years to follow, it's my intention to return to the board and seek your approval for three future phases of upgrades to our electrical infrastructure. We categorize these as critical, urgent, necessary. Go ahead and turn them all on, Nathan. As you can see, we have our work cut out for us. Fortunately, we have been addressing some of these infrastructure issues over the past decade, and we know our business with the challenges that are ahead of us. The green, Nathan, if you could turn off the other layers. The green cable runs indicate what the campus has already addressed over the last decade. So we've been working at it, but it's a large endeavor. Today I urge you to approve phase one emergency repairs to the campus electrical infrastructure and hope that I have been successful in convincing you of the importance of this critical project and the phases that will follow. Thank you, and at this time I will take questions.
Trustees?
I guess my question concerns, and maybe it's either too small or large of a question to manage right now, but do we have a particular insurance policies to manage the potential losses that come from these shutdowns in terms of cybersecurity and of that nature? Because what you're describing is a situation where we're at risk at some level related to these systems. Are we?
Well, I just comment. First, there are some risk management insurance policies that might kick in, but the problem that as I see it is not one of paying for damage after it occurs, but trying to keep our campus going and moving in a situation where potentially. We may get some reimbursement later, but our campus is shut down or our operations are very negatively affected. So, we look at that, and Claire Williams in our risk management area is on top of that, and our systems people are also on top of that.
Yes, ma'am. Is this in our budget?
We have the challenge, and that's a great question. We have the challenge of finding ways to fund this, and we will. I think that there is no choice, and I say that our chairman knows more than any of us about cable and everything, and the potential of this liability is far too great to let it go.
We have an interesting contrast this morning in this committee. We talk about fiber optic cable. And fiber optic cable, when you talk about fiber optic, it's really, in today's terms, it's internet. You use fiber optic cable, although there's still some copper cable network out there on old systems. But you talk about power distribution, you're talking about copper cable. And when you talk about power distribution, you talk about very high voltage distribution. 4160 is our perimeter, but beyond that, coming in is way beyond 4160. So when you have a blowout, watch out, gang, you have a blowout, and serious stuff. So. I understood the need to replace all those, and it's not unusual to have old network in the 30, 40, 50 years old, and as good as copper is, it does fail, just like all of us, sooner or later. So. All right, and excuse me, Mark.
For quite some time, we've been carrying an electrical project among the capital items that we submitted to the state for funding. This is more than what is included in what's already been submitted to the state, or is it the same project?
No, it is part of the same project, and I'm very glad you brought that up. But we have been trying for 10 years to get the state to provide us with funds to upgrade, replace these systems, and we've not received that support, and we just simply can't wait.
Is there any precedent for being able to recoup funds that we advanced institutionally at a later date, or do we cut off the process then for getting reimbursement from the state if we approve this and use local funds?
My response is that I've never heard of a recoup in the state of Illinois, but I will say this, as Jeff indicated, this is a multi-year project. We're only giving today the emergency phase of this. There are critical other phases, but we think we have a little more time and the risk factor is not as high, so that the project will remain in our capital request, and hopefully the state will get be able to fund that request and therefore the other phases of this important work.
First of all, I appreciate the show and tell for non-engineers as trustees. There's no doubt you make a compelling argument. There's no doubt this has to be done. But I think piggybacking on what Mark just asked, this is, one, it's a reflection of not having capital for decades, which is a real tragedy. But are there any funds in that one small window of time where there was some federal monies for infrastructure, does this fall within any of those available opportunities?
That's a good question. I will defer to Kathy Bittner, but I don't think so. We've been looking everywhere we could to find support for this. These are the kinds of projects that don't get a lot of enthusiasm behind them because it's something in the ground. It you can't see it, you can't touch it, and so forth. And so it's very difficult to get the support. Whereas, as the chairman indicated, you know, if you're doing fiber optics and things of that nature, there's a lot of interest in that. So I'm not aware of any opportunities, but certainly we've been looking.
Kathy, anything to add?
No. Just a quick follow-up then on that. It's probably a rhetorical question, but you've looked, I would imagine, to the most state-of-the-art way of replacing the electrical, I'm at loss for words, but as we talked about the comparison between fiber optics and copper, are we assured in your plan that you've projected in terms of the next decade to look at what's available out there, even if there's a cost differential?
Yes, I would say this, that the system we're designing will be here for the next 40 years plus. Okay. That's the idea.
Okay.
Because again, we don't know when the opportunity will come where we can do the replacement. And we can't put something in that's going to last 10 years because it's going to take us almost that time just to get to the things that are on the list.
Yeah.
So we don't want to get through those things and then start all over again.
Yeah.
So I think your point is very prudent and very well stated. And I think that the tasks that we've given to the engineers and to staff regarding this is to provide a system that will be here for the next 3 to 4 decades.
Yeah, that's reassuring. Thank
yes.
you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
And Eddie will check back to you in 30 or 40 years to see how things go. Yes. I'm going to ask for a motion if I haven't asked for one before. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? Any more discussion? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, 40 years from now, when I make my presentation to the committee, I'll refer back to this date.
Yes.
Item 7P is an upgrade of our campus alert systems in 13 buildings. Again, I want to thank our staff for working, Jeff Dower again, and his people, and all of those involved, Wally, and all of those involved. This is one of those particular projects that crossed many offices and divisions and units of the institution. The academic departments were very cooperative in working with us. This upgrade upgrades our fire alarm systems, all of our enunciators and things of that nature. We've been undergoing this process over the last months. We ask your approval.
May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
You got that, Sharon? Okay. Okay. Discussion? No discussion? I'm going to call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Carry.
Item 7Q is a simple a request for re-caulking buildings. This is a preventive maintenance effort that our bond revenue people, Bob Albanese and his staff, have identified as being a necessary investment that we need to make. Otherwise, we'll be dealing with far more complicated and far more costly repairs in the near future. Our simple, in this part of the country where you have the freeze-thaw cycles, we have the opportunity of having penetrating water simply go in and destroy concrete panels and loosen them, making them dangerous. They could fall off, and we have other problems with that. So we ask your approval of this project.
Motion, please.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
7R is a renewal of our lease for our motorcycle safety program. This is out of the outreach office under Dr. Kaplan. This is a renewal. This is a pass-through as well, one of the more popular programs that we offer here at NIU. We ask your approval.
Motion, please.
Second.
Discussion? This is a very, very popular program. I'm not a motorcycle rider, but people who have owned motorcycles remark to me how pleased they are with the program that the NIU has. Okay, I'm going to call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carry. Thank you. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, we have several information items. I will not go through each one of them on an individual basis. I would ask the committee if you have a question or a comment on any one of these, to please feel free to just give me a call, or you might ask a question right now if you have it. I would like to skip to agenda item 8D, which is an update on our first year residence hall project. We have Mr. Mark Hopkins with us. Mr. Hopkins is the architect of record regarding this this new and exciting project. Just to recall, this is the project that will provide 1,000 beds for our freshmen under a private-public partnership, one of those unique arrangements whereby the university does not put in capital for the construction of this facility, and yet we will manage it. It will be a part of our system under our Student Affairs Division, and our people will basically provide all of the services. I've asked Mr. Hopkins to come and give this committee an update on where we are in terms of design and with this project. Mark?
Well, thank you. Good morning, President Peters, Trustee Boy, Dr. Williams, committee. Good morning to everybody else. Happy Thursday. On behalf of HKM Architects and Planners, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to be here to give you an update on the first year residence hall project. We also have to thank American Campus Communities, the selected developer, and Pepper Construction, the Division of Finance Facilities, specifically Mr. Jeff Dower, this morning. So if you could start the animation, Nathan. There you go. I'm going to show you this animated computer model while I'm speaking, and it will end in some key still shots. I've got some very good news about this project. It made it through the design and bidding phases without sacrificing any bit of scope and quality that we were desiring for this building. So under the supervision of Jeff Dower, the construction drawings were prepared in an intensive process of rounds of input and drawing review by the NIU stakeholders who will be using and maintaining the facility. And with Pepper Construction on board, we were able to evaluate the cost of each one of these line items as they arose so that we could monitor to see if our wish list was growing too big for the budget. So the current bidding environment, of course, helped an awful lot too in being able to help us reach our goal. Now, we're about to build some very durable, long-life buildings. There's 1,008 beds in two residence hall buildings, each with 180,000 square feet. They have concrete structures. They're all brick exteriors. We've got abuse-resistant interior walls. You've got very high-quality electrical and mechanical systems. The buildings are fully sprinklered. They're connected to campus utilities via a system of new underground tunnels. We have card swipe access control and a first-class security system for the protection of the students with camera monitoring. And you already know that the students will each have their own sleeping room and vanities, and two of these sleeping rooms will share a toilet and a shower room. That forms a suite. Six of these suites form a cluster, and they share a common living room and kitchen and laundry facilities, so it's set up like a house. We have 80 such clusters, 40 in each building, and between every two clusters is a community advisor suite. The plan layout and decoration of the suites is to be perceived as home-like, so that you have psychological security and comfort. The exteriors of the buildings are designed kind of with a nod towards traditional campus architecture, in the tradition of the BAVC and Still Hall, so to speak, in that style. One of the two bricks that are selected for the exterior walls is the same as that was selected on the BAVC. And the partial pitched roofs that you've seen on this are critical to that architectural and historic traditional style. Between the two residence hall buildings is this 31,000 square foot dining hall building that seats 500 for meals. It's got a food court style servery, multiple purpose program rooms, an 1,800 square foot cardio room, a lounge area with fireplace, arcade and video gaming, and all kinds of seating and lounge areas throughout the building for our study and socializing. And all of these spaces are served with multiple video monitors connected with video projectors and screens for coordinated presentations, such as during student orientation, as well as day-to-day video viewing. Students using the cardio room, for instance, can bring in their FM device and they can tune it to one of the FM stations and see one of the video choices that are playing in that room. And that's the way these buildings work. The interior and exterior of this dining hall building is a little bit less traditional than the residence halls, so that it infers a more contemporary, competitive, fun, and state-of-the-art facility. The three building exteriors hang together, though, in an architectural theme that's visually by the use of the same exterior material palette and then similar forms at the building entries and items like site walls and plantings bring the whole thing together into a residential campus. On the site, we've got outdoor dining, various seating areas and benches, and as well as designated smoking areas. We've got bike racks that are screened behind low brick walls for appearance purposes. We've got half-court basketball, sand volleyball. There you see built-in bago courts, and our pedestrian bridge, of course, that links the project to the parking lot to the north. Project's on budget, on time so far. And in the past, we've been able, with this project team, to be able to deliver the NIU projects on time and on or under budget. There's no reason to think that this project will be any different, especially considering the management of American campus communities and the perpetual presence of Mr. Dower on the site to watch everybody over their shoulders. Demolition of the existing buildings will happen the first two weeks of April. So starting March 30th, the existing Merritt Student Housing buildings will come down. A groundbreaking ceremony will be on April 18th. And flip forward 1 year, the two residence hall buildings will be ready for occupancy on August 17th, 2012. And the dining hall 1 month earlier than that. So the middle of July, the dining hall will come online so they can be fitted out with fixtures, furnishings, and equipment. So again, thanks. What an honor for me personally to be here again in front of you. And does the board have any questions?
Trustees?
Yes, General.
I cannot express sufficiently the joy of seeing this and what a beautiful design and how current it is. We spoke in academic affairs this morning about the necessity of being contemporary with our courses. but the environment is I don't want to say equally important, but it's way up there. It really is the means by which the student then can absorb the whole process of education. So we're very excited about it. It's a great design, and really good to hear that it's going to be on time. Under budget, did you say?
At least on budget.
Eddie made me say that, yeah. By the way.
He says it to me all the time.
Thank you very much.
Well, what a pleasure for you to say that. Remember how many people are involved here. There must be 150 people that are involved intimately in this project, right? I'm just a point man. And we have teams of engineers of all various disciplines. We have all the stakeholders in this room that will be using and maintaining this building. This is a collaborative effort to bring this thing together to this point. There's an awful lot of folks.
Anybody, any other discussions? Rob, you have anything to add to it?
No, just that I wish I was here.
I'm jealous that I cannot be a freshman again either. That's true. Yes.
I do want to say one thing, and I want to thank you, Mark, we have a very dedicated, very talented team, and they really are very much in tune to this campus, and we've had great experience. Mike Malone can give you some indication of the very positive success we've had with this development team, and I do want to thank you. And I do want to say to the committee, much of this would not have been able, we weren't be able, wouldn't, would not have been able to accomplish had it not been for the leadership of the chairman of this board, Mark Strauss. And I say this because I have had to go to Mark on some very tough and difficult issues, and he has been right there and giving guidance and helping us through that. And I do want to make knowledge of that. It's sort of rare, but we have a talent on this board that really is in tune to this kind of project, this kind of financing, which is a very complicated, very, very complicated form of financing involving many, many different groups and attorneys and attitudes and all of those other things and egos it's just refreshing to be able to refer issues to our chairman, being one who really truly understands. And so, Mark, I do want to reiterate my thanks to you.
And I certainly repeat the same thank you on behalf of the board to you too.
My pleasure.
Any other discussion? Okay. Eddie, is that all we have on your agenda?
Yes.
Other matters? No other matters. Next meeting, May 12, 2011. Motion to adjourn, please. Second. All in favor? Thank you.